Good morning. It's good to be back. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rich Flashman. I'm with Chosen People Ministries. I wasn't always with Chosen People Ministries. I was 27 and a half years as an Evangelical Free Church pastor in Connecticut. I am now working with Chosen People in my 11th year now. So it's great to be with you again. And I wanted to say thank you for your support. You guys have been a critical piece of support raised for Michelle and I. Over these years, and can't thank you enough for the partnership that we have had together for these many years together. So thank you so much. And just to give you an update as to what's going on, some of you know that Michelle is now working for Chosen People. I don't know if you know that, and she works in the development office now. I'm being moved over to Manhattan to take over the Manhattan branch of Chosen People, and that's been exciting. We have a lot of things going on. A few things I want to make you aware of. We have a interfaith Passover going on at the Union Lee Club in Manhattan. That's where we have about 150 seats, tables, you know, for 150 people. We're getting there, but there's still space. So if you would like to come, it is $85 a plate, but if you bring a Jewish friend, they come for free. So, right? It's a way of blessing your Jewish friend, family member, co-worker, vendor, you know, whatever, doctor, lawyer, accountant, you know. So come and bring them and enjoy a very special time. The Union Lee Club is a beautiful place. It's a historic. It was actually started during the Civil War. You know, there are Union Lee clubs all over the country. You know, it's been sort of the club of presidents and captains of industry over the years, and so it's a beautiful place, great place to go for a dinner. Come and join us. We're also going to be having, after that, we're going to be having a Holocaust remembrance and an Israel Independence Day celebration at our headquarters in Manhattan, so we have a seating for about 60 or 70 for that. So if you love to have you come, and there's no charge for that one, and join us for that. That's going to be on May 14th. We're going to have an anti-Semitism symposium on June 20th. Dr. Michael Brown will join us. Josh Ahrens will be there. A few other Israeli musicians and artists are going to be there. We have room for 1,000 on that venue. It's going to be at the Palladium in Times Square. So I would love to have you come. Bring a whole group of you guys to come and join us at the Palladium. It's going to be a wonderful night of music and speaking. We're going to have a special speaker as well to match Dr. Brown from the Jewish side, or maybe a very prominent Christian speaker will come as well. So it's going to be a great night. So come and join us. That's going to be on June 20th at the Palladium, and I don't think there's a charge for that one either. So come and join us for that. We have a new ministry. I think I may have shown this to you last time I was here, but it's worth repeating. It's called the Host Israeli Ministry. There's not a lot of Israelis traveling right now, but they will be again. Eventually, this war will be over. They're going to be coming and joining us again. And this is a wonderful way of sharing the gospel with Israeli Jewish people who come to visit America, especially in the New York area. Right now, we're the only house, Michelle and I, the only house in the New York area that signed up for hosting. So we need help. You know, we need some New Jersey folks to come and join us and to sign up. And again, it's all under your control. You know, you meet these folks online. They find your contact. You meet them online. You have a Zoom call with them. You get to know them a little bit. You decide what the rules are and how long they can stay and all of that. They don't want to hang out at your house. They want to go visit New York. They want to go see the city. You know, they want to go enjoy the area. So you're not entertaining them. You're just giving them a place to crash, really. But you can if you want to. Well, we have, and it's a lot of fun. But this is a great ministry. There are brochures on the back table. If you're interested, pick one up. Give me a call. I'll give you my contact. Give me a call. I'm sort of in charge of doing interviews for these things. So come and take a look at this really very, very fruitful ministry. You don't even have to bring it up. They bring it up. They bring up the gospel. They want to know why you're doing what you're doing. They're very interested. They're not scared to talk about religion and politics. and they want to know what you believe and why you believe it. So it's a great way to share your faith with Jewish people. So take advantage of that. You also, hopefully you got the brochure. I won't go through it with you for the sake of time, but please do read through the brochure. You've probably seen it a few times. I've been here. So read through the brochure, and there are ways of getting involved with us, you know, going on mission trips. By the way, where's Julie? There you are. Yeah, I went to India in 1999 and spent 2 weeks there. It's an amazing place. It's absolutely an amazing place. It took me about 6 weeks to get over it. And you're right, it's a persecuted church. We met with pastor after pastor after pastor who'd been beaten for their faith, who suffered for their faith. It made you feel very humbled. We're going there teaching them, but they had so much to teach us, right? Yeah. So, good. I'm here today and to share the word of God with you, I want to prepare myself to do that. Now let's have one more word of prayer, and we'll get into the word. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, thank you so much for this time now, Lord, as has already been prayed. Quiet our hearts, open our minds, Father. Help us to hear what you are saying, Lord, Father, through your word. Guide and lead us through this time together. Glorify yourself, magnify your name and your purposes, Lord. Thank you that you love us so, and you only want the best for us in our life, and you've given us so much toward that. You've given us the path of life and health and blessing, Lord. Help us to walk that path and to be used of you for kingdom purpose. We love you and thank you and pray this in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name, amen. So I was a young pastor, fresh out of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and took a pastorate in Northeast Connecticut. They call it the quiet corner of Connecticut. I was just full of, we're going to set the world on fire here, right? And so I worked very hard to get things going. This particular church had gone through some very difficult situations, and so I wanted to be a real healing influence there, and worked hard to do that. And the way I thought about it was that a Sunday will be my Sabbath. Even though I'm preaching, and even though I'm teaching, and even though I'm counseling, but the Sunday will be my Sabbath. So I'll be working right back on Monday. I'll be back in the back of the office, continuing to work, continuing to move forward with the ministry, right? And I started doing that, after a while, I began to get sick. I began to get ill, I was wondering why am I getting ill? Every week I seem to get ill. So I decided I was going to take a break, and I took a break, and you know what happened? I didn't get ill anymore. I was doing great, and so I said, oh, okay, I can go back to my other schedule, whereas I'm just taking Sundays. Sundays is my Sabbath, and you know what happened? I got sick again. And so I think maybe, I said, well, maybe God is telling me something. Maybe he's saying that he actually wants me to rest one day a week. So I began doing my best to do that, to try to take a day out each week and get some actual rest on that day. And you know what I discovered? There's actually a commandment about this. Did you know that? There's a commandment. We call it the fourth commandment. The Jews call it the fifth commandment, but it's the fourth commandment, and it's here in the Bible. So I thought that was fascinating. Let me read this to you. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And I'm going to read also from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes your son, your daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys, other livestock, and any foreigner living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong arm and his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So there is a Sabbath rest that God wanted Israel, ancient Israel, to have. He wanted them to rest, and took it very seriously, by the way. If you keep reading in Scripture, you'll find that there are certain strictures involved in keeping the Sabbath. Like, if you work on the Sabbath, you're supposed to die. You're supposed to be executed. I don't think that is applicable today. I don't think we need to execute people for doing that. Otherwise, we'd all be goners very, very quickly. But the principle of the Sabbath, I believe, is alive and well. Maybe the condemnation of not keeping the Sabbath is gone, because there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in the Messiah, Jesus. But the principle of the Sabbath remains and stays. I want to talk about that this morning. I think it's an important topic that we often neglect. But I think we should think about it a little more deeply. We need to honor the principles of the Sabbath by learning and adopting the principles of Sabbath as rhythms for our lives. Okay, first of all, we need to honor the principles of the Sabbath by understanding the purpose of the Sabbath. And if we read those two passages, you may have gotten a sense for what the purpose of the Sabbath is. The Sabbath has been set apart by the Lord for sacred use. That God has, it's kind of like the sacred objects of the temple. It's been set aside. They're like forks and bowls and plates and so forth. Like, you know, but they're set aside for the use in the sanctuary, for the use in the tabernacle, and that makes them what? Holy, right? It makes them holy and separate. And so God has taken a day of the week and he has set it aside and has made it holy and sacred, like the utensils in the temple itself. Now, what's the purpose of the Sabbath? Well, negatively, no one is to do any work on the Sabbath. Okay, that work is forbidden. Positively, everyone is to rest on the seventh day is of the week. So no work, no. Yes, rest on this day. This is an important day for us. There is a couple of further teachings about what that means not to work. Later on in Exodus, Moses says there's no lighting a fire on the Sabbath. That's why if you go to Israel and you go and you want to go up a tall building on Saturday, you know you can't push a button and start. They've already been to Israel and try to go on an elevator. They have they call the Shabbat elevator. It just goes up every floor. And so if you have a 30 floor building, you're going to go up every floor. It's going to hit floor 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 30, because you can't start a fire on the Sabbath. If you press that button, you're causing a spark, right? That's what it is, and you're causing a fire. So you can't press that button, you know, on the Sabbath. Okay, so no starting a fire. That's why Jewish people don't cook, especially in Brooklyn, where I've been working for the last 10 years. They don't cook, you know, on Shabbat. You cook before Shabbat, you know, and then you eat the meal. Sometimes they have like warmers that they keep warm, you know, through Shabbat, so that they can warm up their meals without setting a spark. And you know, they've worked. There's lots of these little workarounds that they have. There's also no bearing a burden on Shabbat. You can't lift things. You can't carry things. Well, what does that mean? We're going to get into that in a moment. You can't carry things. You can't lift a burden of any kind on Shabbat. Again, you know, if you do these things, you're under the old covenant, you're liable to be put to death. You know, to be executed for doing that. That was the rule. The two main reasons for these rules, according to the scriptures that we've already read, is the Lord rested after he created the heavens and the earth, right? Israel was to do likewise in order to remember the Lord as their creator. Okay, and that's a good idea, right? A day to remember God as creator, that I wouldn't exist unless God had made me. You know, I think that's a pretty important thing to remember, right? You know, and so the Lord wanted Israel to remember creation and them as his special creation. And so the Lord rested on the Sabbath, you know, and in order to make that day holy and as an example. Now, obviously, God does not need to rest, right? You know, I mean, he's God. You know, no matter what he does, you know, he doesn't diminish himself in any way. You know, in his energy, in his power, in his glory, you know, they're all undiminished. You know, if he were to work 1,000 days in a row, God, you know, God's energies and power and glory would be totally undiminished. He did not rest for himself. He rested for us. He rested to set an example for us in our life. He knows that we need these things to give us a rhythm of life, to give us a rhythm to live by in our life. That's what's going on here. Now, remember, the Jewish year is 12 months of 28 days. It's a lunar year, right, which causes problems with the calendar. If you're mathematically inclined, you'll understand that. So you have 12 months, 28 days each month. It begins with the new moon, and it ends with the next new moon, and so forth. And so there are four Sabbaths in each month in these 7-day cycles that you are to work through. The Lord has hardwired this rhythm into the human condition. Okay, this is how he made us. He made us for this cycle of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. Okay, it's a hardwired thing. We know that because throughout human history, people have tried to change this. Did you know that? The French Revolution, they did away with Sundays. It was a disaster. You know, they had to reestablish Sundays as a day of rest. Then, of course, the Soviets came along, and they were going to create the new Soviet man. You know, and they're going to change the world, and they're going to form and shape the world into their own liking. And they decided to do a 10-day week, you know, so they could get more work out of the week. So you'd have 9 days of work and 1 day of rest. You know, that was the Soviet idea. Total disaster. They had to go back again and rethink their plans. Exodus 23:12 says, "The Lord did this that we might have rest and refreshment." That's it. That's the reason. God wants us to rest and be refreshed. Jesus said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. God wants to bless us with times of rest. Okay, that's the idea. And we're going to see the problem that happens here. Our Creator made Shabbat, the Sabbath, to give us rest and refreshment in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, says there's two reasons for Shabbat. The second reason for Shabbat is for Israel to remember their suffering as slaves in Egypt and the subsequent redemption that God brought for them through this mighty hand and outstretched arm. So not only are we to remember creation, we're also to remember redemption on the Sabbath. We remember that we are redeemed people. You know, we've been bought with a price. We belong to God. You know, and so we've been redeemed. We've been created, and we have been redeemed. God wanted us to remember both things. He wanted us to celebrate those things on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to serve as a memorial of Israel's liberation from Egyptian bondage. Shabbat was meant for rest and remembrance, refreshment and rejoicing, wholeness and worship. We're doing that today, right? We're worshiping, right? You're doing a great job in leading us in worship. And celebrating the Lord today and rejoicing before him. That's living out the principle of the Sabbath that we're talking about today. Finally, Sabbath was a sign of the covenant of the Lord that he made with Israel at Mount Sinai. It says that in Exodus 31, 12. I'll read that, Exodus 31, verse 12 through 18. I'll read that to you. Each person who is counted must leave. No, that's not the right one. I'm going to pass on that. I'm not in the right place. Is that it? 31? 12? Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. No. What do I have? I have Exodus 31. 31, 12? No, that's not it. Nope, I'm looking at the wrong one. Oh, okay, I see what I did. Okay, I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, here we go. The Lord then gave these instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from now, between me and you from generation to generation. It is given so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day must be cut off from the community. You have 6 days of the week to do your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is a covenantal obligation for all time. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and he rested on that day. It is the Lord has made Israel a distinct person. He wanted a day to remind them of this covenantal relationship that he has with them, and actually gives the death penalty as a way of ensuring that this is going to be kept by Israel. It is a sign from the Lord. So for Israel, the Sabbath was a time of rest and remembrance, refreshment of body and soul, celebrating liberation from bondage, and reflecting on the unique relationship that they have with the Lord. Again, with the faithful observance of Shabbat came great blessing. If they did this, then they would find great blessing from the Lord. He would bless them as individuals. He would bless their fields. He would bless those who lived in their households. He would bless their sheep and their cattle. He promised great blessing along with this. Now, sadly, over time, people neglected the Lord's Sabbath. We see that happening. The prophets warned. We see in Jeremiah, they were doing business on the Sabbath, and the gates were open, and there was commerce going on that day. And the prophets warned if they kept this up, God was going to just not only shut those gates, he was going to destroy those gates. He's going to level Jerusalem and send them into exile, which is exactly what happened in 586 BC. And that was totally, completely realized because they did not keep. And then the land kept its Sabbath rest, 70 years, right? The land kept its Sabbath rest because they were to keep the land rest every 7 years as well. After the return of Israel in 536 BC, they came over time determined that they were going to keep the Sabbath. They were going to keep all the law, but especially the Sabbath. So much so, they began to develop a whole exotic system of laws to protect the Sabbath from even coming close to being violated. They put a fence around the Sabbath. They put a fence around the law so that you couldn't even get close to coming and violating the Sabbath. And they were going to protect it and keep it. You go to the Talmud, which is sort of to the Jewish people what the New Testament is to us, and as the Orthodox Jewish people. And you go to the tractate, Melakot, and there are 39 different kinds of work that are forbidden on the Sabbath. Each general category is broken down into endless divisions that they are to do. These divisions go on for hours and hours. Suffice to say that the great Sabbath day, the day that was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, was being weighed down by a series of do's and don'ts on that day. You couldn't lift a burden heavier than the weight of half a fig. Okay? I don't know how they came up with that. Half a fig. Now, if you drop that fig, you couldn't pick it up again because then you'd be lifting a whole fig that day. Okay? That's how that worked. You couldn't put a string in your back pocket because you might fiddle with the string in your back pocket and you would tie a knot and that would constitute work. Good news. Bad news. You couldn't have false teeth on the Sabbath. My grandmother used to put her teeth in a glass of water in the bathroom. Remember, she used to visit us from Atlanta, and she would leave her teeth there in the Sabbath. You know, in the glass of water. For a little kid, that was kind of spooky. The good news is you can lift children on the Sabbath. The bad news is you got to clean their pockets out of everything that's in their pockets. Otherwise, you'd be constantly lifting a burden because you'd be lifting more than the child on the Sabbath. You got to make sure their pockets are empty before you lift the child. You can't look into a mirror, ladies. You can't look into a mirror on the Sabbath because you might see a gray hair and try to pull it out, you know, and that would constitute work. So you could eat a radish, and you could actually dip the radish in salt, but you couldn't keep it there too long because then it might get pickled, and that would constitute work if you're pickling your radishes. So you couldn't do that. Now you could spit on the Sabbath, but you had to either spit into your handkerchief or onto rocks. Because if you spit on the ground, and then by accident you had your foot, it would rub it into the ground, that might cause you to cultivate something out of the ground, and therefore you could not spit on the earth. So you see what happened to the Sabbath, rule upon rule, regulation upon regulation, law upon law, and that's sort of what happened until it became stifling. I know a number of Orthodox Jews who tell me that the legalism is stifling sometimes. Now some Jews today, like the Orthodox Jews I just talked about, the folks in Brooklyn, they are really good at keeping these rules. That constitutes about 5 to 10% of Judaism. Are really, really good about keeping these rules. The folks in Brooklyn are probably the leaders in this field. Some Orthodox Jews try to get around it a bit, like my bubba. My mother was underage, and my grandmother would, it would be getting dark on Friday night, and my grandmother in her Yiddish accent, she was from the old country, she was from Poland, and she'd say, Fredel, she goes, it's dark in here, and that was a signal, that she should, my mother should turn on the lights, because she was the Shabbos Goy, she was the one who was, because she was underage, she could, now, according to the Bible, was my grandmother doing the right thing? No, if you listen to what I said, neither your son nor your daughter, right? Neither your manservant nor your maidservant, neither your cattle or your ox. Nobody can do work. You can't get around it that way. So my grandmother, God rest her soul, she was wrong. This is something, it's funny, but it was actually forbidden on the Sabbath. But most eventually, did not abide by this rabbinical legal code, choosing rather to ignore the rules and regulations. Maybe they would celebrate the Shabbat as a special family time. That's very popular. They have the family come together on Friday nights and to celebrate together and have a meal together. But they would maybe keep their activities to a minimum, but they were turned off by the legalism too and did not keep up with it as well. So what about us? What about us in the church? What's our role in relationship in terms between us and the Sabbath? What is our connection to this? Are we breaking God's law by failing to observe the seventh day? And what about the new covenant communities that we're involved with, in relation? I know there are lots of people. We get visitors all the time in Beth Sar Shalom in Brooklyn, who are Seventh-day Adventists. Are there any Seventh-day Adventists here today? You grow up that, and they are so delighted with us, because we meet on Saturdays, and so they think that's wonderful and very excited about that. Until they find out why we meet on Saturdays, then they leave. To understand this whole relationship that we have with the Sabbath, you have to understand the Messiah event. You have to understand what Jesus did when he came. Okay, Jesus did not come to abolish the law, did he? He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law. Now, whatever you think that means, it clearly indicates the law was unfulfilled until Jesus came, right? It means the law was unfulfilled. Jesus came. Israel had failed to fulfill the law. They did not properly keep, of course they didn't. They were exiled from the land 3 times. Two times by Jesus' day. They were exiled in 722 BC. They were exiled in 586 BC because they didn't keep the law, because they didn't keep the requirements, because they didn't, because they broke the covenant with the Lord. Okay, so they had failed to do that. Yeshua the Messiah now comes, and perfectly fulfills the letter and the spirit of the law, for us. And we, to that we say, Baruch Hashem, praise his name. What we could not do, the Lord has done for us. He has fulfilled every aspect of the law for our lives. The law could not save us. The law could not justify us. The law could not redeem us. The law could not make us holy or righteous. The law could not cause us to receive the Spirit. The law did not enable us to do anything that would give us any standing with a holy God. That's the verdict of the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 3, 14. Just read that. You can see all the things the law was not able to do. The problem wasn't with the law. The law was perfect. The problem was with us. We couldn't keep the law. That we were weak in ourselves, not able to keep the law. The law was, among other things, a tutor that was leading us to our, showing us our need for a Savior. Showing us our need for someone to come and fulfill these things for us because we were unable to do it ourselves. And because Jesus came and he fulfilled these things for us, we are now no longer under the law. Isn't that nice? We couldn't keep the law anyways. In fact, remember in Acts 15? You know, the Pharisaical believers, you know, those from the party of the Pharisees that were believing in Jesus, wanted the Gentiles to keep the law. What does Peter say? Peter says, how can we ask the Gentiles to do something that we weren't able to do ourselves? He says, no, it's by the grace, of God that we have faith in Jesus, the Messiah. What has happened now is that the law, at least the law no longer condemns us. The law no longer condemns us. As I said before, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in the Messiah Jesus. In fact, we are told the law was a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves, right? Hebrews 10, verse 1. The law is the shadow. The Messiah is the reality. He's the fulfillment of it all. Does that mean that we can ignore the moral commands of God? Meganoito, may it never be that we would ignore that. Not only does the law lead us to Messiah, but the law after that shows us the pathway to follow God, the pathway to live life for him. It shows us the wisdom of God, that we, if we follow the moral aspects of the law, we will live wise and fulfill lives. You know, we see Jesus coming in and fulfilling the sacrifice and the atonement and the blood and so forth and setting us free from all of that. But now the law, not only does it lead us to Jesus, but it also now, after coming to Jesus, shows us the path to follow God, how to please God with our lives, to honor him with our lives. The law becomes a principle to live by. Now, this is a big topic. We won't have time to go through all of it right now. But regarding the Sabbath, some things have changed, but the great principles remain. No one is to judge us anymore by what we eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Okay, Paul says no one is to judge us by a Sabbath day. Okay, so if someone starts judging you by a Sabbath day, first of all, don't do that. All right, and if someone judges you, just take them to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. You're not to judge me according to the Sabbath day. Okay, that's a rule at Beth Sar Shalom. There's no judging going on about the secondary issues. You know, about sin, yes, of course. But the disputable matters, nobody is to judge anybody. If you want to keep Shabbat your way, you keep Shabbat your way. If you want to keep it strict, keep it strict. If you want to keep it loose, keep it loose. You decide. No one's to judge you about that day. Okay? And so there's that's the print, Romans 14, 22. These are what Paul calls disputable matters. They're secondary issues with no conclusive rule to them. They are now a matter of our individual conscience. Does that mean we ignore Shabbat? Again, may it never be. The principle of Shabbat is as valid today as it was 3,500 years ago. God rested, so should we. God redeems us. We should remember that on a day. The rhythm of work and rest is hardwired into our souls It is something that God wants us to take advantage of for the blessing of our lives, for the blessing of our community, for the blessing of our souls together with him. God redeemed us from slavery to sin and death, and we should celebrate our liberation. Just as the Jewish people celebrate, you know, the liberation from Egyptian bondage at Passover, which is coming up, we are to celebrate our liberation from sin and death and hell by remembering and setting aside time to remember and celebrate that. God establishes a new covenant with us through the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. We should remember that covenant by setting aside time and to learn of God and to fellowship with one another and to be renewed and refreshed in our souls. If we don't, we will suffer for it, like I did when I was getting sick all the time because I wasn't taking time to rest. There's an old expression in amongst the Jewish people that the Jewish people, it wasn't so much that the Jewish people kept Shabbat, but Shabbat kept the Jewish people all those years. It was something that kept us and gave us rest and refreshment and peace. It maintains our human dignity. Folks, we are not consumers. I know they call us that. We're always being called consumers. We're not consumers. We're human beings. We're not human doings, right? We're human beings. God wants us to be. I love that song you sang, Wendy. You know, this idea of resting in the presence of God and knowing his heart. How are we going to know the heart of God if we don't take time to rest in his presence? You know, it's just not going to happen, right? It's just not going to happen. We have to take that time. Rest holds us together. You know, it renews our spirits. It refreshes our souls. We need that in our life. God's not trying to punish us. He's trying to bless us with the principle of the Sabbath. Sabbath rest honors God. It refreshes our lives. It deepens our fellowship. It reflects the promises that he made to us in this world. Again, we ignore this to our detriment. When we embrace it, it refreshes us and glorifies his name. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we apply this principle? How practically do we remember the Sabbath day in our lives? First of all, I don't think it matters what day of the week it is. You can pick the first day of the week. You can pick the last day of the week. You can pick the middle day of the week. I don't think it matters. That's what we tell the Seventh-day Adventists, when they come to us, we worship on Saturdays because that's when Jews worship. You know, we're just doing what Jewish people do. You know, we worship on Saturdays. But I think the idea is that once a week rhythm, you know, of rest. Okay, but for that to happen, you got to get your work done in 6 days, right? Okay, you got to get your work done in 6 days. It has to happen. You know, and that includes your housework as well. No honey-do lists on this day of rest, right? Right, ladies? You know, now that you got your husband home from work, you know, you're gonna give him a honey-do list. No Home Depot runs on this day. You know, if you're really gonna rest, right? You know, again, we're human beings, you know, not consumers. Okay, you need to see Sabbath as a delight, not a punishment. God's blessing us. He's giving us a delight. Need to remember our creation on Shabbat. Need to remember our redemption on Shabbat. A good place to do that is right here in church, right? This is a great place to do that. To do that with God's people. It helps to remember when everyone's doing it together. So that's a great place to find yourself on your day of rest. You need to remember our creation and redemption. We need to prepare to celebrate Shabbat. It takes time to do it right. You just can't rush into celebrating it. My grandmother used to start on Thursday, getting ready for Friday evening, okay? You have to start early to get ready for Shabbat. It takes time to get ready for it. Okay, clear your schedule. You know, turn off your devices, right? We need to turn off our devices. You know, pray the Lord's blessing on the day. Ask God to bless it. Cook and serve a special meal. Have a really nice meal on this day. Spend some time. Go to one of those places on the internet. You can find those neat recipes. You know, I've done that a few times. That's a lot of fun. Light candles. Say a special prayer on that day. Then feast and laugh. Tell stories. Enjoy yourself. Bring family and friends over. Tell stories. Laugh. Enjoy. Sleep. Go for a walk. Read a good book. Read the good book. Spend some time in the Word. Cuddle up with your spouse. Just your spouse. There's a great Shabbat tradition in Judaism. It's called Shabbat Shluf. Anybody know what that means? It means a Sabbath nap. You know, take a nice nap on the Sabbath. You know, doesn't that sound great? You know, take a nice nap on the Sabbath. Sit and stare out the window. I'm really good at that. Just look out the window and just stare. Can't you ever find yourself doing that? I do. You know, find your place of rest. Find rest in Him. Get close. Spend time talking to God, not in the formal prayer language we sometimes use. Just talk to God. Just be real with Him. He loves it when we're real. The good news is that there is a rest for us, right? The real rest is found in Him. You know, He is our Sabbath rest. There is a Sabbath rest for God's people. We who believe have entered into that rest. It is now ours. Really, in one sense, if you're in the Lord, you know the rest of God. I know that my heart was searching for years and years. I'm not sure what it was searching for, but when I found Jesus, or He found me, you know, my soul was at rest. I was never searched again forever. I never thought my search would end, but it did when I found Jesus. You know, He's the end of the search. He's the fulfillment. And then He says, okay, now learn from me. Now spend time with me. Now enjoy my presence, my love for you. Just spend time in my presence. He is our rest now and forever. I love that passage in Isaiah where it says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders. And He should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of His government and of His peace, there shall be no end. Folks, it's just going to get better and better. Increasing peace. Imagine that for millions and trillions and zillions of years. It's going to get better and better and better. C.S. Lewis says further up and further in, right? It's just going to get, the closer you get to God, the more you realize about God, the better, the more joyful, the more peaceful it's going to be. He is our rest. Let's begin now by realizing that and enjoying that during this time. I think it'll impact every aspect of our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, thank You for Your Word, Lord. You're not trying to discipline us here, Lord. You're trying to bless us. Help us, Father, to embrace this blessing of Shabbat, this blessing of Sabbath rest that You want us to enjoy, this rhythm, Father, of six and one, Lord, Father, of taking a day and just spending time with loved ones and with You, Father, and just getting rest for our souls and for our bodies. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for loving us so much and providing this wonderful rhythm for our lives. Help us to take advantage of that, Lord, and to enjoy the blessing that comes from it. We love You and thank You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.